Would you please find Judges chapter 9? The title of the message this evening is The Parable of the Trees. Now, I think probably most all of us are familiar with parables, but we're probably more accustomed with reading them or studying them from the Gospels and listening to parables that Jesus taught. A parable, very simply, is just another term for an illustration, really. The word parable comes from a word that means to cast alongside or to put alongside of something. And so when Jesus, for instance, was teaching his parables, he would be trying to impart some lesson to his listeners. And in the course of teaching them, he would put something alongside of the lesson that he was teaching. And it was just to illustrate, and it was a parable, that which was put alongside of the lesson that he was trying to impart. As I say, the most familiar parables to us are those that Jesus himself taught. But here in Judges, the 9th chapter, we're going to read actually the first parable that appears in the Scriptures. And beginning in verse 8, once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Shall I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees?" Then the tree said to the fig tree, "You come and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees?" Then the tree said to the vine, "You come and reign over us." But the vine said to them, "Shall I leave my new wine, which cheers God and men, and go to wave over the trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, "You come, reign over us." The bramble said to the trees, "If in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon." It's an interesting story. It's an interesting illustration. It comes right in the midst of this 9th chapter of Judges in order to illustrate a point that the people of Israel needed to learn. It's really a parable that is taught by a man by the name of Jotham. And in our lesson, we'll be looking at the circumstances that brought him to the point that he taught this parable. But I want you to think with me for a few moments this evening about some things that we can learn from this parable of the trees. The first thing that I'd like for you to notice with me is the apostasy of unthankful people. Drop down, go back, if you would, please, to chapter 8 of Judges. And in Judges chapter 8, verses 33 and 34, we're told that then it came about, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-berith their God. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. It's a sad and tragic story that is repeated throughout the history of Israel during this period known as the time of the Judges. It's a period that lasted about 3 centuries. And in the course of those 3 centuries, there would be times when Israel would stray from God and suffer because of their straying, their wayward practices. But then they would call out to God, and God would raise up a judge. He would raise up a deliverer. And this deliverer would lead the people out from under the domination of some nation of people that had been oppressing them. And once again, they would have a period of time where they were loyal to God, But then it would soon be followed by another time of disloyalty. And what we've read here in chapter 8 tells us of that transition from a time of faithfulness to another period of unfaithfulness. And it happened after the man Gideon died. And you're probably familiar with Gideon, the judge who ruled over God's people for a period of time. He was raised up when the Midianites were oppressing the Jews. And under Gideon's leadership, the Midianites were defeated and driven out from the land. And we see where the people for a period are faithful once again. But now, after Gideon dies, and the sadness of it was as soon as Gideon was dead, that the people once again played the harlot, the text says. They played the part of one who was unfaithful. They played the harlot with the Baals. Baal was one of the gods of the nations around Israel. And they did not, verse 34 says that they did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They had been the benefactors of, or the beneficiaries of God's benevolent deliverance of them. But they forget this, and they go off on their own ways. Now, what I want you to understand about this is that when we come to this situation where this parable is being taught, that's the people to whom the parable is being taught. These who have forgotten God, they've forgotten God's deliverance. They have become an ungrateful people, and because of that, they have become a people who are playing the part of a harlot, who are following after Baal rather than following after God. You know, there's one thing about apostasy. It always goes hand in hand with ingratitude. An apostate people will always be an unthankful people. Now, what is apostasy? To be an apostate is to be someone who has fallen from God, one who has gone away from or who has left God. That's what apostasy is. And you see how closely that can be associated with someone who has become unthankful for what God has done for them. It's interesting to take note of how many times the Bible has something to say about being unthankful and the great sin of unthankfulness. You know, I think maybe sometimes we don't think about being ungrateful as being that terrible of a thing. You see some child who is completely unappreciative of what someone may do for them, some kindness that may be shown to them. Almost as if, well, I'm entitled to whatever I get, whatever I receive, whatever I want. I'm entitled to that. And of course, the fact is, no, you're not. And we ought to be grateful for what we receive. And one of the greatest things that parents can do for their children from the time that they're little bitty tykes all the way up until they're great big teenagers is to continue teaching them the necessity of being thankful people and of expressing their thanks to people who do good things and nice things for them. And you may get tired of hearing your mother and your dad saying, "What do you say?" And waiting for you to say, "Thank you." But it's a lesson you need to learn and you need to really take to heart. Because I'll tell you what will happen. If we don't learn to be thankful to other people for what they do for us, it's going to be very hard for us to learn to be thankful to God for what He's done for us. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy about some perilous times that were going to come upon him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, He says, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And then he goes on to describe the difficulties and the reason for the difficulties. He says that men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. You see, Paul is warning Timothy about the kind of men he's going to come into contact with, and he says that these will be people that will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power of it. They will have some kind of religious practice. They will give the appearance of being religious people, but he says, in truth, this is the kind of people that they are. They're irreconcilable. They're gossips. They're malicious gossips, even. They're haters of what's good. They're treacherous. And you just go through that list, and you think, well, I can see how people like this would bring about difficult times for God's people. But did you notice it? When he talked about the fact in verse 2, at the end of verse 2, that some would be disobedient to parents, ungrateful. That's just people who are, they'll be people who do not have a sense of gratitude, a thankfulness, specifically and primarily to God for what God has done. You will never see a time of apostasy that does not incorporate within it ingratitude to God. It just never happens without coming hand in hand, apostasy and ingratitude. So when Jotham taught this parable, he taught it to a people who were apostate people, people who were unthankful people. But I want you to notice as well another thing that this parable brings it to our minds, and that is it talks about the arrogance of an ungodly leader. In this situation that arose in the days of Jotham, there was a man who came to lead God's people whose name was Abimelech. And he was a terribly ungodly man. Go back to the beginning of chapter 9 now. And we'll begin to look at some of the circumstances that brought about the teaching of this parable. In verse 1 of chapter 9, we're told that Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, by the way, Jerubbaal is another name for Gideon. And so Abimelech is the son of this former judge of Israel, Gideon. And Abimelech went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and spoke to them and to the whole clan of the household of his mother's father, saying, "Speak now in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that 70 men, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or the one man rule over you, or that one man rule over you? Also, remember that I am your bone and your flesh." Now listen to what this man Abimelech does. He comes to his mother's people, and he tells them, or rather asks them, what would be better, to have all 70 of the sons of Gideon to be rulers over Israel? Would it be better to divide up Israel under 70 different rulers? Or would it be better to have one ruler? And before you answer this question, remember, we're flesh and blood. We're kin. Now, what do you think these people are going to say? Well, they're going to say, well, it would be a whole lot better to have one ruler than it would be to have 70 different people trying to rule the nation. And of course, if we're going to have just one ruler, it would surely be good for us if we had a ruler who came from us, who was flesh and blood with us. Well, here was a man, this man Abimelech, who was, to keep it in the terms of the parable that we've read, he was a bramble. Did you notice in the parable the different trees? How it began with the noble and the useful trees, the good trees of Israel, the olive tree and the fig tree, and then finally the vine. And then it came to the bramble. You know what a bramble is? It's just an old thorn bush. It doesn't produce anything really. It's a nuisance. It's bothersome. It's hurtful. Well, that's the kind of man that this man Abimelech is. He is a bramble, if there ever was such a man. And I want you to notice what this man did. As you look on down through the following verses, he first of all built himself a coalition. He found some people to back him. He went to his mother's people and he reminded them, we're flesh and blood. But then he not only built his coalition, he also bought his constituents. Look in verses 3 and 4. It says that his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the hearing of all the elders of Shechem. And they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our relative. They gave him 70 pieces of silver from the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows, and they followed him. You see, he paid off some folks. He hired some folks to follow him and support him. And the next thing he did that revealed the fact that he was really the bramble was that he brutalized his competition. In verse 5, it says that then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. What a bloody scene. Here this man Abimelech, in order to secure his position of authority and rule over God's people, just slaughtered all of the sons of his father, Gideon. You may ask, how could one man kill 70? Well, he wasn't one man. Not in this act. Remember, he hired reckless and worthless fellows with the money that his mother's people had given him. And with them, he went and slaughtered his brothers in this fashion. You see, in the parable of the trees, we learn the lesson not only about how unthankfulness can lead us into apostasy, but we also learn about the true nature of ungodly people who would even rise up over God's people. And the fact that it always has arrogance as a part of what drives them. You read, as we have studied not too long ago, the writings of the Apostle John and the letters that he wrote in 3 John. He wrote about that man named Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence over them. And you recall how he was described in this very similar sort of way as we see Abimelech being described. An arrogant man, a man who was conceited, a man who was determined to have his way. In fact, it would be his way or the highway. Because John says that he cast out from among the brethren those who would not heed Diotrephes' ways. Just as ingratitude goes hand in hand with apostasy, so arrogance goes hand in hand with a seizure of dominance over God's people by an ungodly leader. There's a third lesson that the parable of the trees teaches us, and it is the danger of being apathetic. Because we read about the apathy of uncommitted bystanders. Look, continuing on in the ninth chapter, verse 7 says that now when they told Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and called out. Thus he said to them, "Listen to me, O men of Shechem, that God may listen to you." You see, here's this man, Jotham, the youngest son of Gideon. And he goes to Mount Gerizim and he speaks out. And what's his message? His message to the people is, "Listen to me so that God may listen to you." You know, it's awfully easy for us to just become sort of spectators in this matter of serving God and worshiping God. It's really one of the great dangers in when we come together in an assembly such as this. We sing our songs and pray our prayers, and on the Lord's Day we observe the Lord's Supper. We give of our means on the first day of the week. We open our Bibles and we study from God's Word. But may I ask you this, how much or how deeply are you involved in all of those things? It's very easy to allow this to become an act in which those in the pews become something of a bystander. And they watch as those who come up to the front of the auditorium do whatever it is that they are doing in the course of our services. That's not what the worship of God is intended to be. Jotham says to the people on this occasion who are becoming these bystanders, these apathetic bystanders in all of what's going on, he says, "Listen to me so that God will listen to you." There's a great lesson in this. It is that we should listen to God's word if we want God to listen to our words. It may very well be that God doesn't respond to our pleas, to our prayers, because we're not responding to God's word. We're not listening to Him. And so, in order to get the people to listen, Jotham tells them this story, this parable of the trees. The apathy is demonstrated in the response of the first three trees. The trees come to the olive tree, and they appeal to the olive tree, "Come and be our king, reign over us." And the olive tree's response essentially is, "Well, I really can't right now. I've got other things to do. I have other obligations. I've got other responsibilities." And so they go from the olive tree then to the fig tree. And the fig tree's response is the same. "I've got other important functions to fulfill." And then from the fig tree they go finally to the vine and request, "Reign over us." And the vine's response essentially is the same as well. Have you become too busy to really be involved in the work of this congregation? Have you become so busy and so thoughtful about work and career or home or other obligations? Obligations that are very real and that are certainly important, but nonetheless, have they occupied our minds so much that we are distracted from what we are here to do? Or why we have assembled ourselves together in this congregation to discharge a work together? Have other interests taken the place of those responsibilities from God? That seems to be exactly what Jotham is talking about as having happened to God's people. They're apathetic. And what happens in an apathetic climate? Well, somebody who doesn't really have any business coming to a position of leadership rises to that position and takes for themselves that authority. That's what Abimelech did. I'll tell you a story. It was not a story my grandfather originated, but it's one of the few stories my grandfather ever told me that, when I say stories, it's kind of illustration, parable, if you will. He told me about a farmer who bought himself a brand new hay baling machine. And he put that machine together and didn't really pay very close attention to the directions of how to put it together. I guess it's something to do with the male's DNA that we just, you know, when all else fails, then you look at the directions. But that's what this fella did. And at one point, he took a bolt, put the bolt down through a hole, and screwed the nut on from beneath, when he should have taken the bolt and put it up through the hole and screwed the nut on from the top. But he hadn't done that. He went over and he turned the machine on, and the gears began to turn, and the conveyor belt began to roll, to run. And then all of a sudden there was a terrible scratching and screeching noise, and the conveyor belt tore, and the whole thing just fell apart. Now the moral to the story is this. It only takes one nut in the wrong place to tear up the whole works. It only took one man, Abimelech, in the wrong place to tear up the whole works. And what happened to Israel is contained in the verses that follow, and Abimelech continues to lead them in the ways of harlotry and their practicing of false religion with Baal. And as you continue reading on through the rest of the chapter, you see the arrogancy of this man. And again, it's so well illustrated in the parable. For what did that bramble say? When the trees came, this thorn bush said, "Well, if you really want me to be your king, then you come and rest in my shade." You ever found much shade under a thorn bush? Of course not. He claims for himself what would be expected of a great tree: luxuriant foliage and fruit. But there is no such to be provided by a bramble. And you'll not find in the persons of individuals who are like Abimelech, you'll not find godly leadership. You'll not find good direction coming from them. And indeed, we find at the end of chapter 9 that this man, Abimelech, meets and ignominious end. He comes in battle to a place where there was a tower. And at the top of the tower there was a woman who had an upper grinding stone. It was a stone that would have been used in the grinding that was small enough to be handled by one person. And this woman up in this tower throws this grinding stone off from the tower, and it strikes Abimelech in the head. And he is struck with this mortal wound. But before he dies, he says to his shield bearer, he says, "Draw your sword and strike me, lest it be said that I was killed by a woman." You know, it's interesting what folks will sometimes look upon as being a tragedy. What's the, He had come to this point in his life, and in his mind, the worst thing that could happen would be it would be said of him he had been killed by a woman. Never mind, he was the murderer of 70 of his own brothers. Never mind, he was the leader in apostasy of God's people. Never mind all the other real tragedies. Just don't let it be said, I was killed by a woman. It's the first parable ever taught in the Bible. And it contains some very appropriate lessons for us. It warns us against apathy. You know, it is said that the only thing necessary for evil men to succeed is for good men to do nothing. Apathy still remains a great threat to God's people today. It's a parable that warns us against arrogancy, becoming people who, like Diotrephes or Abimelech, seek to serve only our own selves. And it's a parable that teaches us the dangers of ingratitude, of becoming a person who really just isn't even thankful to God for what He has done. Does any of it describe you? Can you find yourself in this parable? You know, we read a lot of times the parables of Jesus and maybe see ourselves portrayed there. Do you see yourself in the parable of Jotham? If so, then take the steps necessary to correct it. Don't go to your grave like Abimelech did, failing to recognize the true tragedies of his life. Don't leave this place tonight in such a condition that you are separated from God. Allow God to forgive you of your ingratitude or of your arrogance. Allow God to help you to make your life right. He'll do it through His Son Jesus, who taught men and women that if they believed He is the Son of God and they would turn from their sins and confess their faith and would be baptized, that their sins would be forgiven, they would be made children of God, and they would have the hope of heaven. We pray that would be your hope tonight. Encourage you to accept it by giving your obedience as we stand and sing.